Shalom to all. Today's office about Basadaf Kuflamin. Hey, we are starting right at the top of the Almud. And today's office sponsor, Lilu Nishmas, Mars Miriam Sarabas, Yaakov Moshe, her Nishama should have an Aliyah. Now, we discussed yesterday that if a husband says, I divorced my wife, he's believed. Why is that? Well, because he could divorce his wife right now if he wants, so he's believed to say that he already did divorce her. And now we're going to have two stories about this. The Gemara tells us, there was a fellow who was about to die, and we know that he did not have any sons, which technically means that if he had brothers, his wife would have a Chiyuv of Yibum or Chalitza before she gets married. And Amr Leh, they asked this fellow, Itzei Laman, what about this fellow's wife? What about your wife? What's her status? Amalu, so he told them, Chazil Kana Rabo, she could even marry the Kohen Gadol. Now, obviously, an Almana, a widow, is not allowed to marry a Kohen Gadol. He was just trying to say that she's Mutaris Lashuk and that she doesn't need Yibum or Chalitza. Now, Murav, Rava commented about this, Manichoshla, what should we be chayish for? Why should we not believe the guy? Amr of Chiyabar Abba, Amr of Yechron, so we have this member in the name of Yechron, Balsha Amr Gerashis Ishti Neman. If a husband says, I divorced my wife, he's believed. Because again, if he wants, he could divorce his wife right now, so he's believed to say that she is divorced. And by the same token, when he says she's Mutaris Lashuk and she's not Chayav Tibum, he's believed as well. Harul Amr Leibai, Abai told Rava, Vahaki also Rav Yitzchak bar Yosef, but when Rav Yitzchak bar Yosef came from Eretz Yisrael, Amar Rav Yechonon, he quoted the name Rav Yechonon, Baal Sha Amar Gerashis Ishti, Einoi Neman, that a husband who says, I divorced my wife, he's not believed. So Amar Leh, Rava responded, Vlav Mila Shenenu, didn't we already answer this? Kalam Afreya V'Kal Abba, the one is talking about retroactively, and one's talking about in the future. As we had explained yesterday, that when a husband says, I divorced my wife a month ago, for example, we do not believe him, but if he says right now, I divorced my wife, that's Leh Abba, that's in the future, so we do believe him. So there's no steer Rav Yechonon himself. However, Abai responded to that by saying, Vashnui Nekim V'Lismuch, are we going to rely on such an answer? Just because we have an answer to a question, that doesn't mean we go back to our original understanding. There's still technically a question mark, or at least some sort of lack of clarity that we can't necessarily paskin based off of the facts that we have in front of us. And normally, Rav Lav Nasan Barami, Rav told Nasan Barami, you're right, Chushla, we do have to be chashish for her, which means this woman over here is not allowed to get remarried unless she gets Yibum or Chalitza, or we can determine that the husband doesn't have any brothers. And we have a very similar story. There was a fellow out of Chazaka that he didn't have any brothers. Now, we knew 1000% for sure that he didn't have any sons, and we knew almost for sure that he didn't have brothers, but it wasn't as sure as that he didn't have sons. Meaning we don't actually have Adim that he doesn't have brothers. And Amar Bishasmi, so this fellow said as he was dying, Delesle Achi, that he doesn't have brothers, and that's what we already knew. And Amar Yisrav commented, My Lechoshla, what should we be chayshish for? Chado de Mochsiklon Delesle Achin. First of all, we have this Chazaka, we already know that he doesn't have brothers. And furthermore, Ha Amar Bishasmi, so Delesle, at the time of his death, he said he doesn't have brothers. So what should we be chayshish for? Of course, his wife is Mutaris to marry without Yimur Chalitza. However, Amar Abai asked Rav Yosef, Ha Amri de Ika Adim Dinas Hayam, de Yadi de Isle Achi. People are saying that there are Adim Dinas Hayam, there are Adim far away that do know that he has brothers. And so even though we have this quasi Chazaka that he doesn't have brothers, and he himself said that he doesn't have brothers, if we have Adim stating that he has brothers, of course we have to be chashish for that. However, Rav Yosef responded to Abai, Hash to Mias Halasnu, come on, right now they're not here. We don't have the Adim testifying in front of us. Lav Hainu Rav Chanina, isn't this like what Rav Chanina said? Now just a quick introduction to what Rav Chanina was talking about. We know that if a woman is captured, she's taken hostage, she's not allowed to marry a kohen when she comes out, because we assume that she was violated by her captors, and a woman who lived with a non-Jew, even against her will, is also to marry a kohen. And there was a story with the daughters of Shmuel, who had showed up in town one day and said, we were captured, but we're tahar, they didn't touch us. And we were inclined to believe them with the concept of hapesha asur, hapesha hitter. They were the ones that told us they were captured in the first place, so we believe them that they're tahar. However, the problem was that other people are saying that there are edim that know that these daughters of Shmuel were captured, so their edos doesn't do anything for us, and they should be asur to kohanim. Now we jump back into the Gemara. To Amr Chanina, Rav Chanina said about this case, edim etzad istan v'te'aser. There's edim in istan, meaning there's edim on the other side of the world, and they should be asur. Maybe there are edim that she was captured, but we don't have them here testifying in front of us, and that's what Rav Yosef is saying. Even if there's edim that this guy has brothers, that doesn't mean that his wife should be asur. We don't have those edim in front of us. However, Amr Abaye told Rav Yosef, if you want to be makel with a shvuya, a captive woman, it's okay to be makel with her, because anyway, the isur of her marrying a kohen is derabanan, and there's other kulas as well that apply to her. Skip the parentheses, nekel b'eshes ish, but are we going to be makel with eshes ish, a married woman whose husband just died? We're much more machmir with eshes ish. So how can you compare to the case of shvuya, which we're makel with? And Amr Ravler of Nasan Bar Ami, Rav told Nasan Bar Ami, Chushla, we do have to be chashish for this woman, and she's not allowed to get remarried unless we can determine whether or not her husband actually has brothers, and if they do, they would have to do Yimur Chalitza, or we would have to prove that he doesn't have brothers. I continue to explain the Mishnah. The last case was Ze'achi Enu Neman, and this was a scenario where let's say we have three brothers, Reuven, Shimon, and Levi, and Reuven walks in one day introducing this new guy, Beryl, as their brother. And this guy, Beryl, is called the Safek. Now the Mishnah told us that regarding the Yerusha of their father, Reuven has to give some of his portion to Beryl, and the other brothers do not. Now if Beryl dies, the portion that he received from Reuven goes right back to him. However, if he had Nechasim that came to him from a different place, not from Reuven, then the other brothers split that Yerusha equally. As the Gemara asks as follows, hold on 1 second. V'idach Maika Amri, what are the other brothers saying? Reuven comes and says, this guy Beryl is our brother. What are they saying? Ika Amri Achunahu, if they're saying, yeah, he's our brother, Amayitol Im Bechelka V'sulai, why is it that this brother, the Safik Beryl, only gets with him in his Chelek, that's Lashon of the Mishnah, meaning he only gets part of Reuven's portion of the Yerusha, and he doesn't get any more. The other brothers, Shimon and Levi, should also give some of their Yerusha to this newfound brother of theirs. Ella rather, the Ka'amri Lavachinuhu, you want to say that they're claiming that he's not our brother? Well, then Ema Seifa, take a look at the next part of the Mishnah. Nafalein Chasim Makam Acher, that if this brother, the Safek Beryl, had Nuchasim followed him from a different place and he died, Yarshua Chavimai, his brothers, meaning Shimon and Levi, they also get part of that Yerusha. But why would they get part of that Yerusha? Ha'amri Le Lavachunuhu, they said very clearly that he's not our brother. So why would they take Yerusha from him? And the answer is, Loi Tzricha, the whole Chiddush of the Mishnah is, the Ka'amri ain't onu Yaidim. They're saying we don't know. And therefore, in regards to them having to take money out of their pocket to give him from their Yerusha, they don't have to. But when this brother, the Suffolk Beryl, when he dies, since at the end of the day, they never said with certainty that he's not their brother, so they get to inherit him. Now, Amar Rava, Rava says, Zaysa Meris, it seems to me this Mishnah is telling us that we can learn something about the following case. Mana li biyadcha, if one person goes to another and says, you have a mana of mine in your hands, meaning you owe me a mana, Vala Aymer, the other guy says, Ain't idea, I don't know, Potter, he'd be Potter. And this is actually machlek, we find many times in the Gemara whether or not the guy's actually Potter. We have a clear raya from our Mishnah that the guy's Potter, because here it's basically like Beryl, the Suffolk brother, saying, you owe me some of the Yerusha, and Shimon and Levi are saying, we don't know. We don't know if you are our brother, and they don't have to pay up. So it seems we have an answer to this question. However, Bayam or Bayu says, not so fast. Really, I could technically tell you that if one person demands a mana from the other, and the second guy says, I don't know, he would have to pay up. But our mission is different. It's comparable to a different case. It's comparable to a scenario where one guy goes to another and says, you owe that other fellow money. Yanki went to Yidl and said, you owe Yaili money. And there, if Yidl says, I don't know, he wouldn't have to pay. And that's exactly what happened in our Mishnah. Reuven went to Shimon and said, you owe Beryl money. Shimon says, I don't know, he doesn't have to pay. And we continue discussing this case. We had said, Mace, if this Suffolk brother Beryl died, Yachsur Nechasim Kaiman, the Nechasim that he got from Reuven, go back to Reuven. But if he had Nechasim that came from a different place, Mimakam Acher, then the other brothers got to split that equally. So by Rav, Rav asked upon a question, Shevach HaShivchu Nechasim Me'aleihem Mahu. What about if the Nechasim grew and they improved on their own? B'Shevach HaMageya L'Ktafayim Lo'iti Ba'ilecha. In regards to Shevach HaMageya L'Ktafayim, which literally means Shevach that reaches the shoulders, that's not a question. In other words, Beryl received a piece of property from Reuven. It was a completely empty field. He worked it, invested in it, and now Paris grew from it. That's called Shevach HaMageya L'Ktafayim. That's not a question at all. The Chinafu Lo'i Nechasim Makam Acher Dami, that's just like Nechasim falling to him from a different place. All he got from Reuven was an empty field. Now when Beryl died, it was full of produce. So obviously that's considered like brand new stuff that came to him, and those tomatoes or cucumbers or peppers that were growing there are going to be divided equally among all the brothers, including Shimon and Levi. Kiti Baylucha, what's the whole question? B'shevach she'en magilak tefayim. With something that's not magilak tefayim, it's not ready, it's not something that he invested in or he caused to grow. Kigain, for example, Dikla v'alim. He got a palm tree from Reuven and it grew on its own. It became stronger and bigger on its own. Or Arav Aska Sirtoin. He got a piece of land and then maybe the river washed up some good nutrients onto it and now it's more valuable, but again, he didn't do anything. My, what's it done over there? Is that considered like Nafalein Chasim Makam Acher, and Shimon and Levi would have a portion in it, or is it not, and Reuven would take everything, and the Gemara concludes, Teiku. And we move on to a different Mishnah, but before we do so, let's have a little bit of an introduction. Up until now, we've had many cases of a person apportioning his property to his children or even others. Now let's just focus on two important dinim that are a discussion of this Mishnah and Gemara. If someone wants to give a gift of property, it has to be written in a shtar with Edim, and a kinyan has to be made. However, as we know, there's something called Matnas Shchiv Meira. A person on their deathbed or Shchiv Meira could grant their property to others even without a shtar. And the way that works is because Matnas Shchiv Meira, Kechsuvim Uchim Surim Dami, this present of a Shchiv Meira is like it's already written and given over. Even though all the Shchiv Meira did was verbally say, I want to give this property to that fellow, that in it of itself is sufficient. It's as if it was written down and given over. And actually, as we're going to see in the Gemara, if a Shchiv Meira writes it down, it might not be considered a Matnas Shchiv Meira. And so now knowing that, the Mishnah tells us, Misha Meis, a guy died, Vinimsis Daitiki Kshur Al Yerechai, and a Daitiki, a shtar of a Shchiv Meira, was found tied to his thigh. Now, the only reason why we're saying it was tied to his thigh is just to show us that it's obvious that he wrote it and it wasn't somebody else that did, because how else did it get on his thigh if he wasn't the one that tied it there? Now, Daitiki is basically a Matna Shchiv Meira that was written down in a shtar. He wrote down in a shtar that he wants to give all his nechasim to a particular fellow. What's it then over here? On one hand, we have a shtar saying that he wants all his nechasim to go to Reuven. On the other hand, this is written down in a shtar. He didn't verbally say it, and the Mishnah tells us, Harezu in a klum, it's nothing. Even if Reuven's holding on to the shtar now, since no kinyan happened, and a kinyan can't happen after the person dies, because the shtar was only discovered after he died, so his kinyan is nothing, and this person's nechasim would go to his kids, and not to the one whom was written in the shtar. Now, another unique halacha is zicha bala acher. Let's say this person, while he was still alive, was mezake this shtar to somebody else. He wrote down all of his nechasim in a shtar, and then he handed it over to somebody else, even though that guy's name wasn't written in the shtar. Originally wrote the shtar for Reuven, and he gave the shtar to Shimon, and he said, I want you to have all the nechasim written in the shtar, bein min yarshin, bein she'inin min yarshin, whether this guy is one of his yarshim, or he's not even one of the yarshim, dvar v'kayam, and it's valid, because he gave it over while he was alive. And now we continue discussing this Tanurban. We have a Braisa, is a Hidaitiki. What is a Daitiki? Now over here, the Gemara is asking, where we have this Daitiki, the Shtar that was written by a Shchiv Meira that one can collect with even after Misa's Shchiv Meira. And this is different than the case of the Mishnah, because again, as we said in the Mishnah, the Daitiki was found after the guy died. This is talking about a Shtar that was given before he died. So what exactly is the scenario of the Shtar? And now the Gemara explains the word Daitiki, Kol Shekasev Ba, if it's written in it, Datahei Lemekim Valiyas, this shall be a thing to be set and long lasting. Now that doesn't mean that this has to be written in the Shtar. This is really just an explanation of this interesting word, Daitiki. It's a conjugation of these four words, Datahei Lemekim Valiyas. In other words, in the Shtar, the Shchiv Meira wrote all of his chasim down, and he wants this to be set and long lasting by giving the Shtar over to somebody else, all of his property is acquired to that fellow. And another important thing when we're discussing Matnas Shchiv Meira is that it's only Chal after Misa. Even though he gave it over before he died, the gift is only Chal after he dies. The Brassa continues, Ve'ezvi Matana, what's considered a Matana, and it's not Shchiv Meira, it's just a regular gift, Kol Shekasev Ba, if it's written in the Shtar, Mehayom Ulachar Misa, that you get this property from today and after death. Asking more, hold on 1 second. El Mehayom Ulachar Misa, who da'av Matana, Me'achshav Le'av Matana, the only way a person could possibly give a gift is if he says it's from today and after I die. He can't just give a gift that's Chal right now. That doesn't make sense. Let's say a guy wants to give his friend a gift that he's able to use right now. Why can't he do that? And so Omar Abai clarifies, Hachikamer, this is really what the Braisa is saying. Ezuhi matnas bari shehi kematna shchiv meira. What's a matana given by a healthy person that's similar to a matna shchiv meira, namely, deloy kani alachar misa, that the person is only going to acquire it after misa, kol shekasev ba me'ayom alachar misa, that's if it's written in this document from today and achar misa. Yes, a regular matana just says me'ayom, or it doesn't even say me'ayom, he gives it a document, and that's the kinyan of the gift. But if a person is trying to give a matana while he's healthy, he's bari, and he wants it to be set up like a matna shchiv meira, he has to write me'hayom ulachar misa, and that means the person owns the karka right now, but he only gets the payrois after the fellow dies. And we continue discussing this. Yosef Rabbar of Huna Bachsaj de Beirav. Rabbar of Huna was sitting in the open area, the pavilion, if you will, of the Beis Medrash. V'yosef ekam Rishmid Rabbi Yechanan, and he was sitting and saying the name of Rabbi Yechanan. Shchiv Meira she'amar, if Shchiv Meira said as follows, Hisvu utenu mana l'plaini, write over a shtar and give a money to that fellow. Meaning, in the shtar, it should say that this fellow gets a money of my property. And then what happened? Umeis, the guy died, and the shtar wasn't written yet. Ain kosim v'noisnin, we do not write the shtar and give it to that fellow. Why is that? Shemaloi gomer laknoisei al b'shtar, because it could be that he only wanted the kinyan to take place with the shtar, v'ein shtar lachar misa, and there's no shtar lachar misa. And here's what we spoke about in the introduction to the Mishnah. As we had said, matna shchiv meira kechsuv musurim dami, that when a shchiv meira simply verbalizes, give this to that fellow, that's automatically a kinyan. But over here, the shchiv meira did something funny. He said that I want you to write it down in the shtar. So our suspicion right now is that maybe he didn't want it to be like a regular matna shchiv meira that should work just verbally, and he only wanted the kinyan to take place like in a regular shtar. And since the shtar wasn't written and given over when he was alive, well, it can't be written afterwards, and therefore this fellow does not receive his gift. Now, Amalu Reb Lazar, Belazar told all Tamidim that were sitting around, is Daruba, you should be very careful of this because this is the proper halacha. So pay attention. According to this version, it was Rabbi Yochanan who said the din, and Rabbi Lazar had said, pay attention because this is halacha, so you have to be very careful of it. Now, Rashizbi said it was the exact opposite. Rabbi Lazar had said the din, Amalu Rabbi Yochanan, and Rabbi Yochanan had told everyone standing around, is Daruba, you should be very careful with this because it's the halacha. Now, Rav Nachman Yitzchak, Kavasid Rav Shizbi Mistabra, it's more logical to say like Rav Shizbi that it was Rabbi Lazar who said it, and Rabbi Yochanan who had commented, you should be careful of this. Why is that? Because Iyam Rav Shem Rabbi Lazar Amra, if you want to say it was Rabbi Lazar who said it, it's Rabbi Yochanan Lasu Dele Rabbi Lazar. Rabbi Yochanan needs to give testimony about Rabbi Lazar, because Rabbi Lazar was Rabbi Yochanan's Talmud, so Rabbi Yochanan has to say, everyone, pay attention, Rabbi Lazar, my Talmud, is saying good, and you have to be careful of this halacha. El Yamat Rabbi Yochanan Amra, but if you want to say it was Rabbi Yochanan saying it, it's Rabbi Lazar Lasu Dele Rabbi Yochanan Rabbe. Does Rabbi Lazar need to give Eidos about Rabbi Yochanan and his Rebbe? That everyone, pay attention, Rebbe's saying a good halacha, and you should be careful of it, even if he said that that's not the halacha, we wouldn't listen to him. We would listen to the Rebbe, Rabbi Yochanan. But item furthermore, Tashmad Rabbi Lazar Amra, we have another raya that Rabbi Lazar said this, Tashalch Ravin Mishmei de Rabbi Vo, Ravin sent the following message in the name of Rabbi Vo, Have we yoidim, you should know, Shashalch Rabbi Lazar Lagaila, that Rabbi Lazar sent the following message to those in the diaspora, Misham Rabbeinu, it was sent in the name of Rabbeinu, who's Rav, Shchiv Meira Amar Kisu Tenu Mana L'Plaini, if a Shchiv Meira said, write and give a mana to that guy, Umes, and then he died, Ain Kasim Nisnin, we don't write it and give it, Shemalai Gomer Laknois, El Bishtar. Maybe his whole Gemira's Das was to make the Kinyan Chal in the Shtar and not just by regular Matna Shchiv Meira, which is verbal, and Vein Shtar Lachar Miso. We can't write a Shtar Achar Miso. And Rabbi Yochanan Omar, Rabbi Yochanan had commented on Rabbi Lazar, Tivdik, this should be checked out. And we clarify my Tivdik, what does that mean? It should be checked out. So it's Kios Rav Dimi, and Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael. Omar, he said the following two dinim. Number one, Daitki Mivatal is Daitki. The one Daitki is Mivatal another one. Namely, if we have one Shtar from Shchiv Meira that said he wants to give all of the Nechasim to Ruvain, and then we have another one that said he wants to give all of Zuchasim to Shimon. So the second one is Mevatel the first one, and we're not going to discuss this in detail here. We're really going to see this on Kufnun Beis. And it's the second thing which is relevant for us, namely, Shchemira Sha'amar Kisvu Tnu Mano Laplayni Umeis. If Shchemira said, write and give a money to that fellow, and then he died, here's the key, Ryan, we take a look. We have to evaluate. Im Kimiapes Kaichai, Kaisvin. Vim Lav, Ain Kaisvin. If when the Shchemira said this, he did so in a way that he's being Miyape, he's strengthening the Kayach of the person who's supposed to receive the gift, so then we're going to write a Shtar. If not, we're not going to write the Shtar. In other words, if when this Shchemira said, Kisvu Tnu Mano Laplayni, he did so in a way that it's very clear that he really wants the Matana to be Chal like a regular Matana Shchemira, just verbal. And he just wants to be Miyapa Kayach. He just wants to strengthen the recipient and also have a Shtar written. So then we'll write the Shtar, because again, we're not affecting the Kenyan by way of Shtar. It's really through the Matana Shchemira, the verbal one. So here we have another Raya that it was Rabbi Elazar had said this din, and it was Rabbi Yochanan who had commented on the din. Now we just continue with the question. Masar Rabbi Ramamal. Rabbi Ramamal seems to have a Stira. We have a Brass that tells us, Bari, a healthy person, Shamar Kisvu Tnu Mano Laplayni. He had said, write and give a mana to a person, Umeis, and then he died, Ain Kaisvu Vinaisnin. We're not going to write it and give it. Now what's that mashma? Hashchiv Meira, Kaisvu Vinaisnin. That if it was a Shchiv Meira that had said this, then we will write it and give it over. And who Maisav Lav, whom a Farik Law, he asked it and he answered it, B'miyapes Kaichai, as referring to a case where he was Miyapes Kayach, that the way that the Shchiv Meira said it was clearly trying to tell everyone that he wants the gift to be Chal right away because it's a Matna Shchiv Meira and it's verbal, and he just wants to strengthen the recipient's Kayach by having a Shtar written. So that type of Shtar could be written after he dies. Now we just clarify, Hechidam Miyapes Kaichai, what is it that he's supposed to say that's going to strengthen his Kayach? And the answer is, Kuflam Rav Amar Alpha on the top, Kedam Rav Chizda, as like Rav Chizda said in regards to that Gemara on Kufnun Beis that we're going to get to, and the general idea of the case over there was that a Shchiv Meira had written down in a Shtar that all of his Nechasim go to a particular fellow, and the Edom also wrote the following in the Shtar, V'kanina minei Moisif al Matnas Oda, that we made a Kenyan from him in addition to his Matana. Hachinami, so to over here we could answer, Da'amar is referring to where the Shchiv Meira had said, Af Ksu V'chasumu V'havule, you should also write and sign it and give it to him. And over here it's very clear that he wants the Matana to be Chal the moment he said, give this money to that fellow. And by the fact that he said, Af, you should even write a Shtar, that just shows he's trying to be Miyapa Koichai, that he's trying to strengthen the recipient's Koyach by giving him an actual Shtar, proving that he's supposed to receive this, and again, that he didn't want it to be Chal through a Shtar. And Itmar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Halacha, the Halacha is Kaisim V'Naisnin, that we will write and give it, and Mechina Marava, Amar Rav Nachman, Halacha, Kaisim V'Naisnin, the Halacha is that we're going to write and give it, again, if it's clear that he's trying to be Miyapa Koichai. We're going to stop it for the day and pick it tomorrow with another Mishnah. For now, everyone should have a wonderful day.